This is a Doxcast, not an Argon Soxcast, or a Bendis and Loxcast. Now I'm hungry. This is a Doxcast. It's a nerdy Toxcast. Discuss a Moxcast with Rich Early and friends.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Omega episode of the Doxcast. I am your co-host, Josh Trumbo, and with me, as always, is the techno Rich Early. Rich, how are you doing today?
Wow, that was, I get the right setup there, it was good. So,
those are like the only two that I know, so just get that out there.
We had to carry the board game one, to be fair, because I was like, I don't know, zombie games?
We all know how well that went, so.
Yeah.
All right.
No, our goal today, Josh, like, and we've said at the beginning of the other podcast, but like, we know what's going on. We know what the situation is. We talk about it all the time, but we're just trying to have some fun with some podcasts today. So just take it for what it is. Remember, at Paradox, we believe your health comes first and your hobbies come after, but we're your hobbyists. So here you are.
Yeah. Well, and another thing we've discussed, and we'll just bring it up again, since these podcasts will be released weekly after this recording block today, is that we are firm believers in community, and we've been striving to be a big part of the community, to build our community here in the Fargo-Moorhead area, and to get people of all geeky hobbies and interests together, and to provide a good place for them to do those things. And right now, obviously, we can't really provide the space because we're not supposed to be gathering all together. Mm-hmm. But if we can do that using the magic of the internet, then so be it. So we thank each and every one of you who are tuning in with us and watching live today, because this is a chance to, you know, to really have that connection, and it helps us keep our sanity.
Yeah. And a couple of quick housekeeping notes. So we've launched a bunch of stuff. The main thing is our hours of operation right now are 11 a.m. till 6 p.m. We fully expect Governor Burgum to broaden the restrictions that are already there. But keep in mind, if you do hear that our front door is supposed to be locked to you, that doesn't mean we're not able to sell things to you. We're going to be doing exactly, we already are doing exactly what the restaurants are doing. You can arrange curbside pickup with us. We're offering USPS delivery. We're offering appointment-only shopping. We're offering a personal shopper on the phone. So we made it as simple as possible. We call it CASE, call-ahead shopping experience. So no matter what, door open, door locked, we want you to call us first, and we'll personally arrange how to best take care of you. On top of that, I will be going comic customer by comic customer, subscriber, starting. I'm finally going to get a day off tomorrow, which actually feels like I shouldn't take it off, but I mean, you got to. And we're going to be using CASE on a case by case basis, and boom, boom. You know, so there you go. We've also got a thing going in our Facebook group for comics, which is that we want to put a supply order together. One of the things that people are talking about is it's a good chance at home to work on those projects you haven't worked on. So sorting your comics, rebagging and backing them, boxing them, all those sorts of things. But I have no budget right now. And so the goal at the moment is if we could basically reverse this, if we could get your orders together so we can get to our order minimum, then we could place that supply order and know when we could get it to you. So check that out. That's going on already. I may expand that actually to the gaming groups too, because BCW, our supplier, has a lot of interesting stuff that gamers could look at as well. So, and then lastly, we just launched, oh my goodness, it's like I don't have corona, but I'm having a stroke. But the... I mean, I don't know. We probably all have corona. Who the hell knows? But it's not like North Dakota is going to test. Oh, I was. Can we delete that? No. But the last thing is, it's called Cabin Fever Comics. It is a delivered to your door for $19.99 in a USPS envelope pack of 13 comics, including a variant comic, a variant cover, and these are actual variants. They're not just like a cover B. They're, you know, ratio variants from anywhere from 1 in 10 to 1 in 100. That will be in the middle of every pack. And basically, they've got three Marvel comics, three DC comics, all pretty random, pretty much stuff from the last 15 or 20 years. But then they each got a Marvel number one and a DC number one. And so, if, you know, if you do like those, then you can get a hold of us and you'll be able to figure out if we can get the graphic novel or get more issues of that series, the variant. And then my favorite is our four variety slots in these things where we just like let our staff go nuts, right? Like, what you know, Darren, what would you like to put in here? And so that's and there's a lot more coming, so you know, but that's what we've got up to this point. So there you go.
Excellent. Now coming back on something you were saying earlier, we're acting the same as, you know, restaurants and things by having the curbside pickup, but then you also mentioned USPS delivery. Can I call a restaurant and have them send me lasagna through the mail? Is that something I missed?
Yeah, no, good point, good point. Yeah, so fortunately, since most of our stuff is not, what's the word, replenishable? No,
perishable.
Thank you. That's one of my favorite things I ever wanted to do. You go to the post office and you mail something and they ask you, is this liquid, fragile, or perishable? And I always want to say, yeah, I'm mailing a fish in a bowl, you know? So it's like, yes, it's all of them.
It's all of those things.
Water, it's got glass, and it's a fish, so...
Let me know how that works out for you.
Yeah. So, and like, what if you said yes? What are they? Okay, I just wanted to stamp it that, you know.
Yeah. Yes, it's all of those. Mm-hmm. Goodbye.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there would be follow-up questions at that point. if anybody watching has tried to mail anything that's fragile, perishable, and or liquid, let us know. Mm-hmm. We'd like to hear about your experience.
Yeah, so today we're going to talk about comic book virus stories.
Yeah.
And one thing we want to hear from you. I've got a list, and Josh has a few, and we'll talk about them. But, like, that doesn't matter. Like, we want to hear from you guys. You know, that's the most important thing. We're here today to try to entertain, have a little fun, but interacting with you has been the highlight of that so far. Like, Josh and I can just get together and talk to ourselves, so...
Yeah, and we do.
We do, yeah.
Sometimes we talk on the phone.
Or sometimes in person.
Yeah.
By text.
But
by email.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we enjoy that. I did not mean to imply I don't enjoy talking to Josh when I said that.
Well, that's
either.
How I took it. I'm severely crushed. My world is crumbling.
So... let's start with one of the biggies.
Yeah.
Not the obvious biggie, but let's start somewhere else a little bit. And you mentioned this during our movie TV one. And what's interesting about this one too is there's been multiple pilots being developed for FX like over the last like 2+ years. And so I don't know where it stands right now, but Brian K. Vaughan, famous, you know, most people know Brian K. Vaughan for Saga, and a lot of people will know him from this book as well, but some won't. But it's a series called Why the Last Man. What's really cool, it's a 60-issue, start-to-finish, complete story, never had a crossover, never interacted with another book, does not matter. It's one story, right? So, and it's collected in... it's somewhere between, depending on which size you buy them in, 5 and 10 graphic novels. But the story is there is a virus outbreak on the Earth, but it attacks the Y chromosome. So it wipes out all males on the planet, and that actually includes all the animals, too. It's like anything with a Y chromosome. Mm-hmm. But except for one guy named Yorick Brown and his helper monkey, Ampersand.
Yeah.
Somehow Yorick survives.
I forgot the monkey was named Ampersand. Uh-huh. I love that so much.
Yep. And that's, you know, that's where the story starts. Well, it turns out that while the outbreak, it wasn't even an outbreak, it just happened immediately also. So Yorick is on the phone with his girlfriend, and she's in Australia. On a, I don't remember exactly why. If somebody does, great, chime in. But he's proposing to her on the phone, and the phone goes dead because this happens during the thing. And so, like, the quest for Yorick is, despite the fact he's the only man on a planet full of however many women there are right now, you know, he just wants to find his girlfriend. I believe her name is Beth. And so the quest for him is to do that. But slowly he encounters people who... realize there's a living male, you know, and then the story just sort of develops and develops and develops. So it's, you know, it's a fantastic story. And that's a story where if half the species is gone, if we lost all the women, we may not be able to reproduce, but if we lost all the men, we can't reproduce. Right. And so it's about, you know, what's happening to, say, the sperm banks? What is, you know, how is society functioning with 49% of it gone? You know, so on and so forth. So, I mean, it thoroughly examines everything from art and entertainment to... And have you read Why? I don't remember.
I've read the first several graphic novels.
Okay.
I think back in... Oh, it would have been 2002, 2003, somewhere in there. A buddy of mine had what was currently released at the time.
Sure.
And he lent those to me, and I had never have had the opportunity or taken the opportunity to finish the story. And I've been curious to know how it actually ends up. But it's something I've never actively pursued, you know, getting the books myself or... even just looking up on the internet to see how the story progresses. But I did enjoy what I read. I thought it was very intriguing. And, you know, I mean, it's Brian K. Vaughan. It's good stuff. So, yeah, I've read it, but not all of it.
Sure. Yeah, I would say one of the things it did well as you read issue by issue is it did an excellent job of having a cliffhanger sort of moment at the end of every issue. It was very much, you know, written to emulate how a TV show might work in that way. And yeah, it's just really good. One of the things they learned from that, if you're a Saga fan, this is a minor side note, but like in with Why, because they kept a monthly release schedule, Pia Guerrera, who's the artist, was not able to do every issue. Mm-hmm. She had to take breaks. And so they ended up with, you know, but that's why on Saga, you saw the, you know, publish 6 issues, take a 3-month break, in the middle of the 3-month break, release the trade paperback, then come back for another 6 issues, you know. Right. So you saw that model rinse, repeat. And now they've been on a, well, they said they're going on a year break, and it's been over a year. But
yeah.
They're on a George R. R. Martin 1-year break of storytelling at the moment. So, oh, which, by the way, that son of a gun. Did you read that? Where he's like, oh, because I'm self-quarantined, I'm writing Winds of Winter now.
It's like what was he doing before he got self-quarantined that was keeping him from writing, you know, like, his chosen profession?
Uh-huh.
Like, sorry, all respect to George R. R. Martin.
I know.
But... seriously, was he just like, no, I'm too busy going out and, you know, to dance clubs every night. I can't possibly be bothered to write this book in this series that everyone is clamoring for.
I mean, it shows you that there's more money in, there's more money from HBO in backing up the truck for one, you know, prequel show than there is in writing the book. You know, like, he can say whatever he wants. Like, oh, it's just so complicated. Oh, screw you. You're getting all this money from... all these TV people, we get it.
Well, that's like, I posted an observation on social media not too long ago. Because, you know, obviously we all are aware that, like, sports have been canceled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I've been seeing these memes popping up where people are like, well, without all these sports, we can sure expect a bunch of babies come November or December. I'm like, is that really the reason that men have not been engaging in the procreative act? Is that...
what?
Can we really rely on that? It's like, well, now that they're on sports, I guess I'll go have sex. It's like, is that really it? It's like, I get the whole idea that it's like, well, if you're quarantined and you're together, eventually you're probably going to, you know, do that act. And whatever, there may very well be a boom. But the ones that are blaming it or on the lack of sports are the ones that really get me. Because to my knowledge, I don't know a whole lot of guys that are like, well, I could be doing that. But the game is on, so I guess I won't at all. I just, that...
it's insulting to a lot of people, for sure. You know? It's insulting to women and men both. You know, like, that's all we are, is, you know, so, yeah.
The women are ready, but the men are just not interested.
Yeah,
I mean, has that ever been said?
And no women like sports either,
yeah,
right?
That too.
And you know, no men like anything other than sports. I mean, it's just such a stupid.
I mean, I get, you know, it's like, all right, yeah, it's this meme. Some people have been posting it and trying to get a laugh and stuff. Yep. But at the same time, it's just like, no.
Yep. Yeah. So anyway, that's a big one. You know, the other big one, we talked about this already a lot in a previous podcast on TV and movies, but if we don't mention The Walking Dead, it's just a big miss.
We would be remiss to.
I don't even want to spend a lot of time on it. It's just a very, you know, it's a very obvious. When we talked about it earlier, it was on our show about TVs and movies, and like several things that were pointed out by Greg Donovan. One was, you know, one of the great things about The Walking Dead is we don't need to know why the outbreak happened, and I totally agree with him. So.
Yeah, and I haven't read the book, I haven't watched the TV show, but it's like finding the cure is not the point of the story.
Nope.
You know? So you don't need to know how it happened. You don't need to get that, why is this happening here? It's about everything that happens as a result of it and exploring that. So, yeah, that's, I think, commendable in terms of some good storytelling there. Or, you know, find your subject and go with it. It doesn't have to be everything to everybody.
Yep, and the idea in The Walking Dead is that it's supposed to be the backdrop to the characters and what is it like to be in this world. And we talked a lot about how, like, in that particular type of virus story or slash sliding on over to post-apocalyptic, which is what we're trying to avoid, but is that, you know, it's a way to bring things out in characters and to do metaphors for how you might view society. You know, like, full disclosure, neither Josh nor I are huge fans of the zombie outbreak genre, but we respect and understand why it's a big deal to a lot of people. If anybody's got comments on why or Walking Dead, you know, we want to hear those. So
yeah, absolutely, we'll talk about it if you guys watching have comments and want to go that direction. For us, there isn't a whole lot of interest, so if we're leading the conversation, we're going to lead it away from that. So feel free to jump in.
Because
we do want to hear your thoughts and opinions on all of these things.
Yeah,
so.
No, really, you know, seriously, like, this should be your podcast, so let us know.
Absolutely.
The other one that I want to throw out there, and I just read this morning, so there's a new company, AWA, Artists and Writers Association, or something like that. I can't remember the exact, but it's something, you know, it's about the creators is the point of the title, right? So,
doesn't have anything to do with root beer. Got it.
No. But there's a ton of people involved in this. Bill Jamis, who was the editor-in-chief at Marvel Comics from the late 90s into the early 2000s, maybe a little longer than that, is the man behind the whole thing. And he's actually got money, a lot of money behind him, including investments from the Murdoch family. So, then also on board is Axel Alonso, who was, you know, editor-in-chief of Marvel Comics for not quite a decade either, got fired about 2 years ago after all the things that were going on there, you know. So, I mean, the point is a lot of talent. So what they've done is, they've done some really good stuff. They've been very retailer friendly in their terms and the way they're doing things. They aren't doing full returnability, but in its place, they're doing a credit system, and it's more than enough credit to cover the risk at all, you know. So that's really cool, and they threw big discounts at us on the first issues and things like that. No, I'm not sharing those with you, but it's, you know, that all allows us to take a bigger risk and get their product on the shelf.
Right.
So here's unfortunately what happened to them, and I've met them and I really like them, and I've had a lot of conversations on the phone with two of their sales reps and done a lot of emailing and just a lot of positivity. Well, they unfortunately had their universe launch this past Wednesday. So depending on when this goes up, I'm talking about Wednesday, March 18th. And for posterity, I mean, that was pretty much, you know, this past week has been, you know, this thing's version of D-Day, you know, like,
the day social interaction died.
Yeah, exactly. And so, and they put out all four of their titles. Their central title is written by, and there's a lot of talent on the books, but the central title to backbone it is a six-issue miniseries called The Resistance. And it's by J. Michael Straczynski. Every time he comes up, I always say, watch Babylon 5 if you've never watched Babylon 5. But
it's
Jay,
got that one guy in it.
It's got Bruce Boxleitner. Yeah, true. It's got a lot of people, including Billy Mumy, actually. So if you're an old Lost in Space fan from the 1960s, you know. And Stephen First from St. Elsewhere. It is just loaded with minor celebrities across the board. So JMS also has written a ton of comics. He wrote for Marvel during the JMS era. He did a really interesting, if not controversial, run on Amazing Spider-Man. And he did a really good run on Thor, which a lot of people have a lot of fondness for. But you know, here's the kicker of it all. So all four books come out. You know, yeah, literally during the realization, you know, Corona became not just a thing that was happening somewhere else, but likely was happening now to you, in not necessarily your health, but to you in your life, you know. But the story of the Resistance is actually about a virus that pops up out of nowhere and is a worldwide virus. And it kills 300 or 400 million people, and it has a 95% death rate.
Yeah.
So now,
a little bit worse than what we're dealing with.
Yes, yeah. Right. But it's just really unfortunate. So it also, just as it came out of nowhere, it also just vanishes out of nowhere. And the 5% of survivors, the whole point is that the 5% of survivors of the disease are people who now have some sort of superpower. Only it isn't that simple either. And the reason they did it that way is they wanted to get it everywhere, and they wanted to get it to the ground level. They don't want the Avengers. You know, what they want is, like, what would Josh Trumbo do? Let's say you had some, I don't know, potentially even like minor power of some kind, like, right? Like, what would you do with that?
Abuse it.
I mean, I can't say that I wouldn't. I have a different answer, but yeah, you know. But that's what the story is about. The story is about people who will abuse it, people who won't, like,
right.
People who will, you know, and that it is a really, you know, it's a really it's a cool idea, you know. Greg Donovan, I'm not sure. He must have been commenting on
Walking Dead.
On Walking Dead, yeah. Yep. So, hey, Greg, got your comment. Thanks
yes.
for chiming in. Keep it coming.
Good
so,
to see you again.
Yeah, Greg. Yes, Greg. Ouch is right. Yeah, so. yeah, I mean, I feel really bad for them because I like what they're doing and I like what they're trying to do and, you know, and everything. And actually, Resistance Number One was a really good book. And ironically, I got to still pitch this. It was part of our month-long promotion of returnable books. So we had three books that were all returnable, and this was one of them. So, you know, if you want to buy a comic, use the call ahead shopping experience. And if you don't like Resistance, you can just ship it back, or not ship, you know, bring it back to us. So, and comics are a good example of where call ahead and a personal shopping experience, like, if you're looking for a book, you already asked us for a recommendation anyway. So when you're on the phone with us, we'll do it, you know. So it's not that different, really, you know. You don't get to see the cover, maybe, you know. But yep, that's a thing that happened. I'm sorry, AWA.
Oof.
I mean, I assume they're just done, right? Like no matter what else happens in this industry, like, I don't see how a company like that recovers at this point. You know, how do these
that
books
would be
yeah.
tough.
How do these books get in anybody's hands? No one's got discretionary money. You know, I mean, we're definitely, you know, like, it is weird. Like, again, like, you know, a job like yours where that job is going to be there and your family is safe. Yeah, I mean, your income is what it is. In fact, it might be better because you're not eating out like you were, or you're not, you know, spending on things. So the things you do want, you might very well have income for. So, you know, it'll be interesting. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, so I don't know. Those are the first ones that I had. You had at least one.
Yeah,
in
so,
mind in particular.
As I was saying to Rich before we started the podcast here, I almost said pasta.
The pasta.
Boy,
I guess you're
hungry. Thinking about food.
Yeah.
Anything else? Thinking about getting some pasta mailed to me by USPS. I was saying to Rich here, most of the virus related comic stories I know are probably X-Men comics. And this is something I don't remember for sure which virus it was, so help me out with this. But the storyline, right, where Bishop comes back in time to kill Wolverine, because Wolverine is carrying the virus in the future. Like, which one was that? Do you remember which one that was?
Well, you're mixing up about three different stories.
Okay.
You're kind of confusing the...
I think I saw that originally the animated series.
Yeah,
so I'm
yeah.
sure they combined stuff.
They did, and she came back to kill Gambit. In the X-Men animated series, it was... So they combined two different classic X-Men stories, and they may very well have made it a virus, but like in the comics, neither story is about a virus. So
because the thing I remember...
You're probably right from the show, but yeah.
Right,
yeah,
so. Is that Wolverine was carrying it because his regeneration allowed him to heal, but he was still a carrier. And so that's why he was targeted, because in the future, like, he's alive, but anyone he came in contact with would catch the virus and die.
Huh, yeah, I don't know that story. Totally believe you, but...
Oh, yeah, yeah. So it may have just been that I got that from the animated series, because I do remember it.
But I still think you're mixing two stories up, because there's...
Probably.
They did a version of Days of Future Past in the X-Men animated series. The only reason I clearly remember is I just watched it on Disney Plus recently.
Oh, nice.
But like, so in the comics, in the original Days of Future Past was written and drawn by Chris Claremont and John Byrne in around 1981, something like that. I don't know the exact year, right? But in that story, it is the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants has killed Senator Robert Kelly, who is an advocate against mutants' rights. And that ultimately sparks a war where humanity builds the Sentinels. And then in the future, we see a world that's been wiped out. As once the Sentinels, who were built to kill mutants, but once they go online, it's a very Terminator thing where they realize, like, the Sentinels are like, well, the only way logically to kill mutants is just kill everything. And
right.
So they cause a nuclear holocaust between Russia and the United States. And then, you know, and they come to the mansion and all this stuff. So everything bad has happened. And so then in that story, they actually send Rachel Summers back in time, who's the future daughter of Scott and Jean Grey.
Right.
And she comes back to warn everybody and stop the assassination. So, but then there's also a story where Bishop comes back from the future, and he's a member of the XSE, which is like X-Men Security Enforcement.
Sure.
No, X-Gene Security. I can't remember what the X stands for. Man, I wish Eric was here. He comes back.
Here it is. It's Xavier's Security.
Okay, yep.
Yeah.
Sure. And he's chasing two criminals, Malcolm and someone. And so he comes back and hunts them down. And then gets, I don't know why he gets stuck in the past. I have no idea. I remember the cover and the, yeah, yeah. He's like, this is cool. You got cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
We don't have cheeseburgers. We're out from home. We'll stay here. Yeah. Well, anyway.
I remember hearing about the 1990s.
Yeah.
It's radical.
Exactly. You know, so. And then, yeah, so that's if Brad Meixer was watching, he could also be helping. Brad!
Yeah, are you still on, Brad? We
Brad,
need you.
Where are you? But anyway, for the cartoon, they smashed those two together.
Sure.
So, and around the time that Bishop came back in time, and I don't remember specifically if he was the one who said there's a traitor, but, you know, Gambit appears a few issues earlier.
Yeah.
And then I think Bishop says, you know, you have a traitor among you. And so they just smash those together for the TV show purposes. So
makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so this one I know is an actual thing. So we'll go into this one next. The Technovirus.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Because
that's the thing. Like, Cable has it, but he's using, like, a portion of his power to keep it at bay, right? And that's why he's not as powerful as he could be.
Exactly.
And he's also partially metal.
Yep.
Yeah. I know a little bit.
Yeah. Cable's really cool. Like, I mean, I don't know why I like Cable so much. I think it's a cool idea for a character. Mm-hmm. Like, he looks cool.
Pockets.
Yeah. And I like the fact that, you know, and now he is Kid Cable, but I like the fact that he's an old guy, too, when he shows up. Like, he's a veteran, well-trained military guy with this whole history, you know? Like, he's just a cool character. So.
He was. Well, and that's the thing. I remember seeing him on the covers of the comics and reading the comics that came after that portion of the storyline.
Yep.
So, like, I didn't realize at first, like, why he was half metal. I'm like, oh, did he get, like, his arm blown off or something? So he's got, like, cybernetic parts. I didn't quite get it. And then when I found out about that, it's like, oh, that's actually really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an interesting way to keep a character in check. To have a really powerful character, but then say, well, if he didn't have to deal with this, he could just wreck everything. You know, like, maybe he's not like Superman levels of power or whatever, but I always think that's interesting. Because, unfortunately, something that we run into a lot in, like, card games especially, but also in, you know, it can happen in comics and these kind of stories, is what we lovingly refer to as power creep, where things just get more and more powerful. It's like, okay, well, we just averted this horrible crisis. Clearly, we're strong enough to deal with it. Oh, now there's something even more powerful, so we have to deal with that. And then there's something even more powerful than that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you see that a lot in the, at least in the old style of superhero movies, like the Spider-Man, the original Spider-Man movies by Sam Raimi, is like, it just built and you just added more villains. Until there were so many villains that it's like, who knows what's happening? Like, there's like five villains here all of a sudden, and none of them are interesting because we're not getting to know. There's no characterization. They're just bad guys. And so that's something that can happen really in this sort of genre is, you know, you create a threat that's super powerful, and then you defeat that threat. Well, then what's going to be interesting next time? We already killed Thanos, what's next, you know? And some people think that the solution to that is to create an even bigger threat, a more powerful one. And so that can get very uninteresting very fast, especially when you apply it to heroes, because it's like, oh, now Captain Marvel is part of the team. Well, she can just destroy everything, so who cares? But finding ways to, like, organically make those power levels come down is, I think it's fantastic when they find a good way to do that. And that's one of the things I really like about that character of Cable, is that they found a way to do that in such a way that it's not a consistent, like, or it's consistent, but it's not something that comes up every issue. Like I said, I read a number of issues of X-Force and X-Men and whatever with Cable in them before I had any idea of his power level and why he was part metal and that sort of thing. So there's my Cable gushing. I think it's they created a very interesting character and some very interesting ways to make that character relevant. So,
and that's not the only, there are multiple viruses in the X-Men actually, and mm-hmm. one of the ones that's really relevant right now in the current X-Men storylines is one called the Legacy Virus. Mm-hmm. And so the Legacy Virus was a virus that killed mutants. Mm-hmm. And it at one point in the story it killed Moira McTaggart, and Moira McTaggart was a human, and so I kind of bowed out of that whole story. It was an era of X-Men that wasn't my favorite, but I remember Moira dying, and it was one of my, like, yeah, okay, but you know, the thing is, it was like, well, how did that happen? You know, Moira's not a mutant. And so, but this is one of those things that Jonathan Hickman has picked up on, because Hickman, like, loves X-Men, like, loves the worst X-Men character ever made, doesn't care, like, just is, you know, like, super fanboy extraordinaire, and now in charge of the whole thing. And so, and it's, Moira is sort of the central character to what happened in last summer's big House of X and Powers of X X-Men reset. And this character thought dead. Why was she, you know, why did she get the virus if she was human? And it turns out that, I mean, like, it's been like 8 months, so I'm gonna spoil. Moira is a mutant, and what her power is the way that Jonathan Hickman tied it all together. Her power is, when she dies, she goes back to her birth and relives her life again, only she has the memories from her previous lives.
Oh.
So there is an intimation that there's a cap on how many times this can happen. And it may be one more than we think it is, which I think is going to play into the story. Unfortunately, there's like a pretty clear like reset button into what he's got going on. But I'm sure Marvel said like, hey, you have to have a way to undo this because it's like, you know, super radical. And if it's great, we'll never undo it. And, you know, but yeah, so Moira's, and so basically what most reboots do or relaunches is sort of like scrap things that have happened before and then do something new for a fan right now that might come at the expense of the previous fans, right? Well, with this one, he actually found a way by doing this to unite every X-Men fan ever, because what her different lives are effectively the different mediums or timelines or storylines from X-Men history. Huh. Even including the movies very clearly in one of the things where, you know, like it explains dark futures, it explains alternate timelines, it explains different eras and different creators, the way they did things, why it was all different, you know, because it was always Moira bouncing back and forth. And so, but then now, you know, she realizes the thing that's driving her now, she's almost out of lives, but she, what she's been trying to do is save the mutant race, because the other cool thing, or the other key thing to House of X and Powers of Ten, is it defines the fact that the X-Men have been way too much about annihilate, you know, getting wiped out, right? Yeah. Like, it's always, oh, there's another extinction event for the mutants, you know? And some of them were really, you know, like Days of Future Past, the original, it was awesome, it was new. But after about the 13th one, you're sort of like, you know, so. But
did
so
ever catch a break?
Yeah, exactly. And so what Moira is trying to do is save mutant kind. And she has this plan. So she goes to Charles Xavier before he founded the X-Men in the first place, and she lets him read her mind. So he knows what all of her memories too, you know, and this is the launch for House of X and Powers of Ten, which is to turn the island of Krakoa, which is itself a mutant, into a nation where the mutants can live. And it just, it's a radical redefinition of the whole thing, but it also brings absolutely everybody along for the ride. You know, if X2 is your favorite movie and you've never read an X-Men comic, you're on board. If you saw the 90s animated series, if you read the comic, if John Byrne and Chris Claremont is your favorite creative team ever, you know, it doesn't matter. Instead of breaking with all of that and doing something new, it brought everybody together. So, yeah. And so, yes, yeah, so the Legacy Virus is one of the most important storylines in X-Men history.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Well, somehow we've already been podcasting for almost 40 minutes, I think.
What? Really? Like,
yeah, this one went really quick. So go ahead. What else we got, Rich? Any other good ones? We want to make sure we get them in before we run out of time here. And, of course, anybody who's watching us live, please do comment if there are any story arcs or books that deal with viruses and those sort of situations that you particularly enjoyed.
Well, I want to throw a shout out to one of our viewers. Kip Marvick is tuning in, the owner of Comic Junction here in town as well.
Oh, so fantastic.
Just heard from him on Messenger, and he's doing well so far. And yeah, shout out to you, my brother. Like, this is an insane situation. So I'm glad to hear that, you know, it's so far so good over there. So, yeah, I mean, there really are a lot. There's a right now. Well, let's talk some DC quick too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Darkseid, who's a villain from Jack Kirby's Fourth World and has been around for years and years and years. You know, he's from the world of Apocalypse, with a K.
Of course.
Yeah, as you do. but you know, he's always after something called the Anti-Life Equation. And so there's DC's got a book out right now called Deceased, D-C-E-A-S-E-D. It's essentially their version of a zombie book. And also to note, Marvel 15 years ago or so did Marvel Zombies. Launched their first appearance was in an Ultimate Fantastic Four issue, and then they the Arthur, you know, most people remember the Arthur Schwedem covers in art on that first series. It was really good, you know. It was the Marvel Universe turned, you know, where everybody where there was a zombie outbreak. So, so that's what Deceased is. It's essentially a zombified DC universe by Tom Taylor, but but instead, it's the anti-life equation broke out. It came to Earth and it spread like a virus, effectively. He's had a blast. He's killed characters. He's zombified characters. He's basically wiped out the whole planet by the end of the first miniseries. So, So the anti-life equation and Deceased, Marvel Zombies, I bet there's a ton of others. Those were the ones that were kind of like on my mind as broad strokes. So
yeah, well, no, I mean, we've pretty well filled up a good amount of time just with all of that. So, I'm trying to think if there are any others. The Omega virus, that was a thing, I believe, at some point somewhere. Again, I think that might have been an X-Men comic.
This was stuff I wasn't really reading, but remember the Inhumans versus X-Men story? There was like a cloud that was going to kill every...
Right. Well, there's the Terrigen Mist.
Mm, yep.
Right? And that's the thing that awakens the Inhumans' Inhuman side. And anybody else who's exposed to it, like humans are exposed to it, just like get turned to stone or something awful. And apparently, the Terrigen Mist became poisonous to mutants. So, it's kind of that same sort of story, but I guess different, where it's, more like don't breathe the poison cloud, rather than this is a virus I can pass on to other people. I actually really enjoyed that series. I remember we went into...
Oh, you were the one.
Yeah, no. I was the person that enjoyed it. No, because we did that for the podcast. We talked about it, and I read like the first several issues, and then I picked up the last several because I think it was a 6-issue miniseries. But I enjoyed that because as you've said, talking here, that oftentimes in comics there's kind of a reset button where there's a huge apocalyptic horrible thing that's happening. And, oh no, what's going to happen? And nothing will ever be the same when they come out of it, but then they come out of it and everything goes back to the status quo. And I liked that because the Inhumans versus X-Men, because at the end of it, things had changed. It's like they were able to save both, in their own way. But I believe, by getting rid of the Terrigen Mist, there couldn't be any new Inhumans. So they had to, that changed the way things went for them. Is they had to find another method of doing that. So, Kip just commented there asking if we mentioned AWA's Resistance.
Yep. Yeah, it was one of the first ones we talked about, actually. Yeah. And I was talking about the timing of the release of that book and that universe and how I'm not quite sure AWA will be around, in 2 months after all of this. So, yeah. Hope it sold well over there. Another one is there was a series of storylines in the Batman comics that was kind of like disaster upon disaster. First of all, there was an earthquake in Gotham City. Why am I blanking on the name of that storyline? The whole city gets. Separated, but then there's also Contagion, Batman Contagion, and that one the government even ends up like blockading Gotham City. Nobody can go in. Now it's very much like the movie Outbreak that we were talking about earlier. So there's another one that pops to my head quickly. So
yeah, so there are a number of other comic books, I'm sure, that the central plot has something to do with a virus, wiping out part of humanity. I'm guessing there's got to be more that that we're either just not thinking of or just not aware of right now. But
yeah.
So there's a couple of good comic arcs and comic books. Like we mentioned, Resistance. Are there still copies on the shelf here?
Definitely, yeah. We ordered... Well, the thing is, we did it as part of a promotion.
Right.
So we ordered a lot of that book. So, yeah. You know, we've had okay business this week, but not what we expected on a book like that, you know. So,
well, hopefully we can get the word out a little bit more here. And like Rich was saying, it's one of those returnable books. So there really isn't a risk.
Yeah, it wasn't. The other books in our thing were strictly returnable by us to the company. So we passed that on to the customers. Resistance was like a deep discount. So we figured, like, all we've seen is hardly anybody returns a book. It's just that they really appreciate when we offer them that returnability, but hardly anybody actually returns it, you know. So we took the deep discount as basically the same thing on that book. So,
right. Yeah, so there you go. Let's see. Oh, Greg says he's on his way down to get the books that we've convinced him to try out, and we've convinced him to try out Resistance. So there you go, Rich.
Awesome.
Talk to AMA.
Oh, yeah, and Greg. Greg, you've only messaged me like 3 times wanting the total for your box, and I've failed to give it to you every time. So my apologies. But, you know, yeah, if you come down, we'll get you the total on your box. I'm a terrible business owner.
No, you're not, Rich.
Thanks for
the hesitation on that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys for joining us live on the podcast. We hope that we were able to bring a little bit of relief to you in these socially distant times. We appreciate each and every one of you hanging out and chatting with us and, you know, supporting the store when you can. Obviously, things are still in flux. There's a lot of uncertainty in the world right now, and some things that are fairly certain, but we don't know exactly when they're going to happen, like various closures and things. So stay tuned, paradoxcnc.com. We will keep updating the website with more announcements and things as we go, as things develop. And of course, we'll put those on the Facebook page. So Paradox Comics and Cards there, at ParadoxCNC on Twitter, ParadoxCNC on Instagram. We're going to be continually working as long as we can on creating virtual options for gathering together. So we stated a few times during the podcast today that we love our community. We've been working hard to build and support this community, this awesome community that we have here, and we're not going to let the virus slow us down, or stop us at least.
No, I mean, we'll fight every inch. The phrase I heard yesterday, that's like my favorite phrase ever now, is I'm going to fight like I'm the third monkey in line to get on Noah's Ark.
Yep.
love it, you know. But yeah, like people like Kip and I, like so far, you know, and I have a lot of opinions about how Governor Burgum has done some of this stuff. But so far, you know, we have not been told that our front door has to be locked to the public. I mean, it doesn't really make a lot of sense given the, you know, the clientele and the amount of business that we do when restaurants are under that same thing. And I know you think, like, I mean, we pulled all of our game tables. We've locked up the event center. We've done all that stuff, you know. But, you know, at any given time, I mean, in between podcasts, I popped over and there's like 6 people in the store in my, you know, and we've got signs up, you know, stay 6 feet apart from each other. Only have one person at the magic counter or the checkout counter at a time. It's like, no one pays any attention. You know, like, we can try all we want and we can be polite and so on and so forth. But, I mean, I think that's part of why the upgraded lockdowns happen is we try one thing, we realize that it doesn't work. And we try a harder thing and we still realize, you know, and we're trying to balance the financial livelihoods of everybody at the same time as we're balancing the lives of people as well. So, you know. Right. It ain't easy.
Thanks again. We'll keep you guys posted as we are able to create events that hopefully you will join us remotely in doing. After we finish these podcasts here, I'm going to reset and I'm going to do a test run of some remote board gaming with some of our other board game streamers and things. So if you're interested in tuning in for that, it should be fun. It's like a Tabletop Thursday, but we're doing it on a Saturday here, so playing games and hanging out. But we do release these podcasts every week on the website. They are up by Monday. Usually at some point on Sunday, I put them up there, but we always say new episodes every Monday just to make sure we don't raise expectations that they'll be up at any particular time on Sunday. So keep tuning in. Listen to the DocsCast. We'll be back again to do some more recording at some point in the future, I'm sure. But we do appreciate you dropping in here. And like we said, for supporting the store as you're able to. We hope that you guys are staying healthy and you're staying safe. And we'll see you on the next DocsCast.
This was the DocsCast. Hope you think it rocks, cast. Oh, look at the clocks, cast. Until next time, geek on.